In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, all this month, we've been hearing from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. And each week, we've been hearing Jesus talk about his body being the bread of life. And today is no exception. This morning, we hear Jesus say, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." But today is an exception in one way, because until now, none of Jesus' followers have taken issue with anything he said about his body being the bread of life, and that those who seek eternal life must eat his flesh. Other Jews have, of course. Last week, John's Gospel told us that some Jews said, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" The week before that, they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" But today, these complaints, these concerns, have seeped down into Jesus' followers themselves. After hearing Jesus once again talk about consuming his body and blood, they say, "This is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it?" And the gospel then tells us that, quote, "Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him." I'm sure about two things. One, that all of us here today have friends and family members that have, to use the gospel's language, turned back from following Jesus. And two, many of us in this church today have at times found Jesus' teachings difficult and have turned away during one or more periods in their lives. One of my best friends in college was an atheist when we were students together here in Providence. And years later, he presented me for ordination to the priesthood, and I baptized his son in Paris, and his wife was herself baptized here in Providence. So I know a third thing. Even if you turn back from following Jesus, you can always decide anew to turn forward and begin again to follow Christ. And let's admit it, some of Jesus' teachings are difficult, either difficult to believe or difficult to follow. I suspect most of us, at one time or another, have recited the Nicene Creed in church and thought to ourselves, after one point of doctrine or another, "This is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it?" There are those who might, if asked in the right setting, admit, "Well, I'm okay with the first four statements of the creed. I'm befuddled about numbers 5 and 6. 7, I really have a hard time swallowing, and I'm good with the rest except 11, which I just flat out don't believe." And yet you're all here. And that's because what really matters, in the end, is not believing every point of doctrine the church teaches about Jesus. It's not even about understanding deeply and meaningfully every word Jesus speaks in the Gospels. What matters is, to use again the language from today's Gospel reading, that we continue to go about with Jesus and with each other. Here, our teacher is actually not Jesus himself, but Peter. While some of Jesus' disciples leave him because they find his teaching difficult, Peter stays. When Jesus asks Peter if he too is planning to leave, Peter does not say, "Oh, of course not. I don't know what those other disciples are moaning about. Your teachings are easy." Peter knows he doesn't understand everything. He might not even agree with every last thing Jesus says. But he knows there is something unique about Jesus and about what he is doing in the world. And Peter knows he should be there with him. Peter answers Jesus rhetorically by saying, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words that lead to eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And the word that we translate here as believe could perhaps be better rendered as trust. We have come to trust Jesus. We've been hearing Jesus talk about his body being the bread of life over these past 4 weeks, and that puts us in mind of Holy Eucharist. Now, it's hard for us, any of us, to understand how a wafer of unleavened bread and port wine might be the body and blood of God incarnate. But we don't have to understand how that happens. We trust Jesus that when he says it is so, it is so. And when he asks us to share the Eucharist, and he tells us that by doing so we share in him, we trust that it is so, because we have come to trust and know that he is the Holy One of God. What upholds us in our lives is that trust in Jesus that allows us to build a relationship with him. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, many of us have close friends or family members who have ceased to go around with Jesus. We'd like them to come back to him, especially if their lives seem to be suffering because of their distance from God. What can we do? We can pray for them. We can tell them we're praying for them. We can strive to model what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And that doesn't mean being preachy or outwardly pious. Those things usually don't work very well anyway. I know, I've tried. And in any case, that's not what Jesus said would mark his followers. What he said later on in John's gospel is, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Trust Jesus, love one another. To borrow from the first century Rabbi Hillel, all else is commentary. Amen.